Yeah, yeah. They be like, slow up, homie. You're talking too fast. Came for buzz of the week and splash trash mad. He's Bucky Watts and Bradley Bags. Yeah, it's going down. We call it the G splash. And in the summer sessions and sessions, it's with the unexpected. I'm talking in minutes to seconds. It's pocket perfection. I keep you guessing with methods of messing with the new section. And it's the only podcast with the record I'm wrecking. So, yeah. Welcome to my home. This is G splash zone. It's the dub show. Getting where you fitting in the summer zone. And I'm going there. Let him on your motherfucking at home. To another episode of G Splash Summer Sessions. This is actually episode 42, Jackie Robinson style, you know? I'm your host, Bradley Baxter, and this is the only podcast on the internet that has a shorter version in the summer that runs down six hottest pop culture news stories before 6 a.m. in about 6 minutes or so, but we all know it's probably going to go a little bit longer. Lots of stuff to talk about this week. Before we get into it, we gotta hit those announcements. August 30th, we are doing a fantasy football episode, and we will have a special guest for that. So if you're looking to kill it in the office, get that team locked in, hit draft day with some notes and insider stuff, we will definitely make sure you're popping. Also, Summer Sessions live show will be September 6th. I'm still working on getting that RSVP page up. Hopefully it'll be up by the time this show airs. And if it is, there's going to be a link in the description below. But if I didn't, sorry about it, folks. But it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have trivia, some special guests, some comedy. It's going to be a dope show. You won't want to miss it if you're in the New York area. So stay tuned. Stay tuned very close. And of course, I'm excited once again to start the show, regular show G-Splash. Back up with my man, Bucky Watts. Season 3 will start October 10th. And on that note, let's get into some... That's right, Simpsons 2 is in the works. The Simpsons are coming back to the big screen 11 years after the Simpsons movie gave us Spider-Pig. Don't forget that. Fox has greenlit a sequel, and according to the Wall Street Journal, the studio has announced plans for a Simpsons sequel alongside a new animated film for Bob's Burgers and a live-action hybrid Family Guy movie. That should be very interesting. I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are too. As a huge Simpsons fan, I love that this show just keeps on going and there's no hopes of slowing down. You dig? Over in TV news, Nick Cannon and E-40 and Too Short are set to produce a new show called
Like That? Tell the people that Bucky Watts is Like That? Tell the people that Bucky Watts
is Didn't hit the air horn yet. Gotta hit it on that.
Like That? Tell the people that Bucky
Nick Cannon promises his new show about the Bay Area will be dripping with authenticity because he's got Oakland legends E-40 and Too Short on board as producers. Nick told TMZ he's psyched about the drama crime series The Yay Area because it's going to chronicle Northern California's drug culture and its connection to the Silicon Valley, biker gangs, and even the Black Panthers. Nick's thinking, quote, The Wire meets The Sopranos. Sure, why not? But now that he's got Too Short and 40 involved, he thinks things will move a lot quicker. It's been rumored that several networks are interested and Nick's sinking tons of his own dough into it. He plans on shooting The Yay this fall. Speaking of Bay Areans, Terrell Pryor is probably having the worst week. Now, this is Thursday. You got through the week so far. If you think you're having a bad week, you're not. Terrell Pryor is, though. After a disappointing season last year with the Washington Redskins, Jets wide receiver Terrell Pryor was back practicing with his old teammates during a joint practice in Richmond, Virginia. They don't seem particularly happy with each other because Pryor, well, just really sucked last year. But Pryor got into it with DJ Swearinger. This was all caught on tape. The video for it is in the link in the description below. But Pryor's flinch is, well, pretty fucking bad, man. Pryor seems to be the guy advancing in this whole thing, and he's still wearing a helmet as DJ Swearinger isn't. SMH, bruh. SMH. Speaking of things to shake your head at, Oscars throwing in the popular movie category? Yeah, sounds weird. Last week's announcements by the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Science instituting a new Oscars category for, quote, outstanding achievement in popular film. Now, this thing was met with a quick backlash and mockery on social media. Actor Rob Lowe said this, quote, seriously, the best pop movie category is the worst idea the Academy has had since they asked me to sing with Snow White. Also chiming in on the mix is Mark Wahlberg, and he said, quote, maybe if they had the category before, we would have won a couple of them. We've had some really commercially successful films that we think certainly warranted that kind of notary. I would 100% agree with that, Mark, and so would Boogie Nights, right? Boom! Maybe it will. Who do you think's gonna win the Outstanding Achievement in Popular Film Award this year? Is this just to get a nod to superhero movies, or what? What are we doing there? Speaking of things getting dropped, Tyler, the Creator, has dropped the Flognaw lineup. Tuesday afternoon, Tyler announced the performers will include Kanye West and Kid Cudi's Kid See Ghost duo. As well as A$AP Rocky, SZA, Post Malone, Lauryn Hill, by the way, is doing the miseducation of the internet. Pusha T, Jaden Smith will be there, Earl Sweatshirt, of course, Tyler, the Creator, and so much more. It's the 7th edition of the carnival, and it will go down at Dodger Stadium in LA. November 10th to 11th, tickets go on sale this Friday at 12. A 2-day general admission pass will be available for $250. A 2-day VIP pass will be going for $395. And a 2-day super VIP pass will be on sale for $1,000. Goo! Bringing it over to things that are managed to be surprising everybody every week, maybe even every day. MoviePass is now reactivating canceled accounts. MoviePass members who recently canceled subscriptions for its movie ticket service are finding their accounts may not have been canceled after all. When you cancel MoviePass, you have until the end of your current billing cycle to use the service. Customers still using the service have been opening the app and receiving pop-up messages telling them about the new updates to the plan, such as the 3-ticket limit each month and the suspension of peak pricing. Starting with your next billing cycle, it says, your plan will include 3 standard movies a month for $9.95. These users would likely assume the message doesn't apply to them given they've already canceled the accounts, but if they press the I accept button, they're getting subscribed again, just like that. And no, there's no I do not accept the option. On that note, I'm gonna bring in my man, Bobby Rossi. Welcome to the show, my man. We'll give you that air horn salute.
Hey, happy to be here. Thanks for having me. Man of many trades, I guess, right? So, you know, hospitality.
Always doing something. Always doing something.
Hospitality driven in the nightlife sector and restaurants. Also now kind of focusing on these one-off events. Our last one, Rosé Day LA in Malibu, was amazing.
Always busy. You know how businesses work. I've known you for, 3 years now?
Something like that, maybe a little more.
And you've always been doing these big, crazy things and pulling everything off really well. So
thank you.
You actually are the person who also turned me on to MoviePass. I'm not sure how many episodes you've listened to our show, but as of late, there seems to be like news every week about MoviePass. But we've been following along this whole story. And when I first talked to you about MoviePass, I was so blown away by it. And you were like, yeah, you can go see unlimited movies for $50. How did you hear about MoviePass?
I mean, I think I was just like, you know, kind of scrolling through Instagram and or kind of those, you know, top couple of sites that I look at daily and stumbled upon it. You know, it was like very interesting to see that for some, you know, set price. I think it's even lower than that, right? You know, whatever price it was.
They had the 3 tiers. It was like you could do like 3 movies for $25 or something like that. And then it was one movie every day for $50.
Wow. So like that model was like super intriguing and, you know, loving movies myself and knowing your passion for the movies, you know, passing that information forward. And, you know, from that point, obviously a lot of other people have been doing the same and, you know, it's kind of become a beast on its own. But, It seems like, you know, there's trouble in the water.
Yeah. Water's getting real murky. When it came out, I believe right off the bat, we both had a conversation about how is this business model? Like, I think we've even talked about it with like ClassPass and other subscription-based kind of things.
Totally.
But even at $50 a month for unlimited movies, it still seems a pretty hard to come by business model.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely hard to wrap your head around. You know, I think that membership model is attractive to businesses because they're kind of banking on people not going, you know. But I think when you offer it to such a niche audience of moviegoers that are willing to, you know, have the monthly for $50 or whatever it is, they're going to use the hell out of it, right?
Right.
So, I think that's kind of like what happened on their end. They kind of put it out there. They've got millions of subscribers because there are a ton of people that go to movies and the value was there. But from my understanding, they pay full price for all those tickets to the theaters. So it's kind of a lopsided equation when people are actually, you know, power users. And it seems like in this day and age of consumption and, you know, everything is like on the screen and first to see it and all that, you know, their audience is super active, probably more so than like the typical gym membership, right? Where most people aren't going.
Right, right.
But they're still getting their,
right,
you know, monthly fee charged to them. You know, people aren't going to the gym and going to the movie instead. So
right,
it's
right,
like,
right,
you know, they really kind of created the demand, but I think the demand is way over their expectations and that financial model, as we've been hearing, doesn't work.
Right. So it's constantly been changing. They, at one point though, I looked at some of the stats and people going to the movies was up, and I felt like that was kind of what they were going for, and I almost like trying to build up some ammunition to kind of work with these other theater branches. And that seemed to work out, especially when they rolled out like the Oscars. Like, more people are seeing all the Oscar nominee movies now because they can.
Right.
So you're right. The demand is definitely there. People flock to this, especially at $10 a month, which is still crazy. But for the power goers, like going to see like 9 movies a month,
yeah,
I'm getting well over the value.
Oh, you're killing it.
I'm killing it. Destroying it. But now it's at $10. They're losing money.
Like crazy.
It's not really working.
Not so much.
And in this whole thing, AMC comes out with another program for $20 a month. 3 weeks, 3 movies a week. And you can see IMAX, 3D, anything.
Right. So essentially, the end of MoviePass.
But you can only go to AMC. So you're not going to get those like indie flicks or indie, you know, movie opportunities.
Sure. So I think, you know, they're putting the model out there. It works to some degree. Now the movie theaters could take advantage of the same model because they're not paying retail for their own ticket, right? So they have the advantage of coming in at a competitive price, offering more frequency because it's costing them, you know, probably half to even less to who knows what their cost per person actually is, you know, when the theaters are built and the movies are playing anyway, and really all they're doing is kind of winning on the concession,
right.
Which, you know.
Which was another point to the move pass, was like people are buying more concessions.
Oh, for sure. So for the theaters, you know, it works out because they're getting their full price ticket from MoviePass and they're getting all the concession. And then, you know, the consumer wins because they're getting a cheap, you know, movie ticket, you know, a dollar a ticket if you're a power user or whatever it is, if you're going 10 times a month or whatever it is, the math works even on one ticket, right?
Right.
So in hindsight, yeah, it's an attractive model. And I think their objective, which I think they've spoken about it a little bit, was like they just wanted to get the subscribers and the fan base and the data and the emails.
Right, MoviePass, yeah.
And you know, use some of that income to then start creating their own content that is only lives in the movies. So essentially getting into the movie business of their own, but financing it through the audience.
Right. And they did that. Actually, I want to say they distributed American Animals, I believe it's called.
Oh, yeah?
Did you see that movie?
No.
It was good. Great movie. It's like a documentary, but not.
Interesting.
Great. And then, I mean, you got to look at this movie and go, why would you pick that one? But Gotti with John Travolta.
Oh, they made that?
They
backed that?
Yeah, they distributed it.
That's a miss.
Yeah. Definitely a miss there. But that was the whole idea. And I believe I read that they took the data and they went back and was like to the studios and stuff. And they were like, we don't want it.
Yeah.
So now no one's buying it. You're trying to buy these films to distribute.
The house of cards is shaky.
Yeah. So where do you think the movie going industry is right now, in the sense of like why would AMC want to continue this subscription if it's like, if MoviePass is tanking and that was like their biggest?
Well, I think like, you know, being second to market, understanding where the you know, the eras lied with MoviePass and right. where they missed and whatnot. And again, like they're just using their own model now internally, which I think for them works. You know, it's probably way more profitable for them to offer these tickets. Cause again, all they're doing is filling the theaters that they have empty seats at anyway, if they're not sold out. Right. So they're winning on the concession. They're winning on their performance levels, in regards to like AMC's putting up higher numbers because they have more people coming through their theaters. So therefore they probably get better dibs on like the bigger movies.
True.
Or something like that. Right. I'm sure there's some back end correlation that makes sense for their attendance numbers with the studios and what studios are releasing what movies to which theaters, because they don't go to everybody. So I think for them, if you're running an internal model, that's got to be helping you across the board, you know.
And also Alamo.
Alamo Movies.
The other theater.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's like the cool kid on the block. They're actually putting together one as well.
It's starting to look like MoviePass created an amazing model that doesn't work for an outside entity to execute, but is ideal for the movie theater, you know, the different theater companies to implement themselves to fill empty seats, you know, that wouldn't be sold anyway.
Yeah. And the history with the people who are funding and everything behind it, they're just losing money everywhere. And I believe stocks dropped in a day from like, I think stocks are going for like 5 cents or something.
Yeah, I heard something crazy like that too. Yeah.
They lost $100 million. The parent companies lost like $100 million.
Right.
In the second quarter this year.
Ooh. Right. So in the day and age of like, you know, companies getting funded, you know, for massive losses, you know, it's par for the course. You know, everybody's taking big swings and conceptually it sounds good.
Shareholders, I guess, are even suing their own
company.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, gets real out there.
So they are saying too that kind of be patient through this.
Right.
It's going to get better.
Trying to get more efficient and like extract cost expenses. Again, though, like, unfortunately, they've created something that they can't protect.
Right.
You know, like, now it's just open information or a platform that the theaters themselves could participate in. They've just been given an education, I think, of how it works, what doesn't, you know, what movies times are better than others, when are people coming. And if they're the ones controlling it anyway in regard to the access to a movie pass, then they can just keep those restrictions to themselves and order it to their base.
And target their, yeah.
And capture their own audience directly, you know, without having to like broker through a movie pass who has that data and they don't, you know. At this, they get to, you know, own it themselves.
I looked at the movie pass website yesterday. Their plan has changed like every day for the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
It was going up to be $15 a month.
Yeah, I heard that.
Now it's not. And they were like, we'll go back to 10. You'll get 3 movies a month. Last time I looked at it, and they still are plugging away the $9.95 a month unlimited movies with a second tier now for $7.95 for 3 movies a month.
Hmm.
But I don't know if you've been on the app lately.
No.
There's no showings like for any theater.
Oh, wow.
They're just like cutting.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're available in the morning, but then not at night,
right?
Which is obviously peak time to go. They tried to do the peak pricing thing that nobody took well to that.
Yeah. So they're just holding on right now, right? So they're like playing the shuffle where they're like having little inventory available, but still charging you monthly. And like, let's see who sticks around and doesn't cancel their subscription. Right. And let's see who, you know, runs to cancel their subscription, and we'll see what shakes out and what we're left with. You know, I think the philosophy of it was great, but, you know, I think their audience reacted too well to the offering. Therefore, turning the model upside down.
I'm just reading this right now. As of Wednesday afternoon, MoviePass stock was trading at just 4 cents a share.
Wow.
That's
great. It was like up to $30 at one point, I think.
Yep. That's a lot of dough.
A lot of tickets.
Who's taking the fall for this? I mean, is this a CEO kind of not doing a good job at being a CEO?
No, I I think it's just like a reaction to usage, you know? They created a great product that people...
The fastest subscription signups like ever. Like, on internet subscription.
Right. There you go. They tried to create that, like, mass hysteria and then, like, then adjust and then see where it all lands in the middle. But I think the usage was just so heavy during that time period that, like, they didn't really get a chance to, like, breathe.
Yeah, not to mention there was a lot of good movies that come out this.
Oh, for sure.
There's been tons of them. I feel like I've seen more movies this year.
Right, and it's like, you know, with everybody Netflix and chilling, like, people are also kind of getting the itch to, like, get out of the house, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Doing an 8-hour stint in front of the TV, rocking 10 episodes or something, is hard, you know? Like, right. And you know, it's like, I think people see the movies as like an outlet to get out. I think Netflix was winning and is obviously still winning because their membership model was $10 a month or $9.95, and you have all this library of stuff to watch. So that cheap price is there, right? It offsets me having to go spend $17 a person. You know, if you were someone else, you're looking at $35 to $50 with food.
If you go to the movies right now, yeah,
you're dropping $50. Not to mention if you go to like iPick, where you're spending like $100.
Yeah, if you see an IMAX movie too, like
crazy,
it's like,
right?
It's so up there at $100.
So people were kind of, I think, getting turned off by that because it's expensive to go to a movie when I could just stay home, you know, buy it on demand or Apple or, you know, and obviously the Netflix has always their selection of new stuff and original content, which is like really good. You know, you factor all that in. And people started staying indoors. Now when you take, you know, when you give them a deal
right.
on like, hey, you can go get that experience back again for nothing almost, you know, for a cheap price of half a movie ticket and go as many times as you want, people are getting out of the house, you know, and doing it, especially in the summer months, you know, and whatnot. And, you know, obviously we're on the East Coast, but especially these summer blockbusters, summer months, people want to get out. They don't want to stay indoors. The Netflix and chill kind of gave a lot of people cabin fever too, you know? So how do you balance that out? It's like, yeah, I still want to go see something cool, but let's go to the movie theater and, oh, I don't have to like get gouged anymore for 50 to $100. We're in. But then the problem is that expense got pushed over to MoviePass.
Right.
I don't know why they didn't try to sort something out more favorable of like, we'll fill the empty seats that aren't sold type thing, or like allocate us a certain amount of seats per movie theater and we'll pay half price for them. You know, at least they're getting half a movie ticket instead of a full movie ticket and they're still getting full concession. Maybe that burn rate would have been a little more manageable.
It seems like they're trying to do stuff, but doesn't seem like they're trying to do new stuff. I talk to people now and I say, you know, I was paying $50 a month and I was completely fine with it.
Right. And they're like, that's crazy, right?
Yeah, they're like, they look at me like, that's crazy. Why would you ever do that?
Yeah, but that's your thing.
Right. So that's my thing. And then other people are like, I go to movies all the time, but I just don't go see all the blockbusters and the main movies. But I was like, it worked for me. And I'm surprised they kind of wouldn't even try to fall back on that. Maybe that's just
cost too much. I think the gap was too great, right? You know, like $50, people are thinking about it and it's not like a run to sign up, you know, because it's still a commitment, you know, like you still have to go 2 to 3 times to kind of get your break even-ish. I think by lowering that price, they actually created more power users, right? Like,
right.
Oh, sure, I'm definitely going to see anything, you know, like I'll go see anything if it's $10 for a month.
I know this movie's going to suck, but I'll still go see it.
Because it's like, you know what, like let's go sit in some AC, let's grab some candy. The seats in the movie theaters these days are like amazing, right?
Yeah.
The laid back, recline, you know, and it's like it's a disconnect from like the outside world too. So like, you know, who doesn't want to be in a nice theater and like just disconnect for 2 to 3 hours, not look at your phone, watch a cool, watch a movie, catch the previews, grab some popcorn.
And chill with the ultimate.
And chill with the ultimate theater experience, right?
Let's say you work at MoviePass right now. Are you kind of like, are you updating your resume?
Yeah, I think so. right? Like, I think you're out, right?
Yeah,
I mean, like, I would imagine the writing's on the wall. There's some panic. And
when a company like this, is, you know, they've got the demand, they just can't meet. Is it attractive to, let's say, somebody else who owns multiple companies? Or, like, is this worth...
I think if they like, you know, if someone could come in and like renegotiate the deals that they have with the movie theaters and make it more efficient and like, you know, create that balance between the consumer not feeling that they don't have accessibility and the theaters being a little more, you know, relatable to meeting in the middle, then I think maybe there's like some happy medium. But like, the theaters are getting full price for the ticket, so what do they care, you know?
Right.
They're just getting more people. I think the cat's out of the bag, you know? I think the movie theaters are like, oh, this is a great model. Let's just do our own subscription service. And, you know, to our loyal people or people in proximity, you know, outside of these cities too, in the suburbs, it's like, it's the Regal or it's the AMC. It's not like multiple like to choose from. So, you know, great. If you can create that seat filling mechanism on off nights or whatever it is, then you can do all that. I think that's why ultimately they won't be able to recover, is because the people that they were negotiating with are just going to negotiate with themselves and their audience.
Yeah, it's amazing that looking at this the app right now,
nothing,
can't see anything.
So you can't go to a movie tonight
unless I go to the Sinopolis theater. Is there going to come a time where just MoviePass is going to be like, yo, we can't do it. We're done.
Yeah. Next 6 months. How do you sustain? The movie theaters are the ultimate winner. They found a way to put people back in the seats through this mechanism on someone else's dime. Now they're converting into doing it themselves in conjunction with a MoviePass or whatever, who knows. And they're maximizing like their opportunity right now. There is a resurgence of the interest in movies through MoviePass, but unfortunately, the theaters will survive and the MoviePass will not.
Is it worth it for a theater chain like a Regal, an AMC, Alamo, to just buy the subscription? Like just buy out the company and be like, now we have our whole the base is already in place.
Yeah, I'm like, if their technology or something is like superior to like whatever they're using.
Because Atom Tickets was like, they're running a contest for people to cancel their movie pass.
Nice.
And then you win I think the winner would win a year.
And what's Adam, what are they doing?
I don't know why they're, I think because people probably stopped using their app.
Right. Is it the same thing though?
It's not even a subscription base. It's just like it's like a social kind of Fandango, if you will.
Gotcha.
You just bought movie tickets and then they have like ways to cut the line.
Okay.
And like your tickets were in your app.
Right.
So the theaters adapted to that. But again, they weren't like a subscription base. So it's interesting though that they're just on the side of the theaters, and makes sense that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes like the innovators are the ones that get wiped out because the people behind them are just learning from their mistakes and making it better and more efficient and cheaper because they don't have to pay for, you know, the A&R, the research, the R&D, you know, to get to that point.
Good old MySpace Tama.
Yeah, like, you know, Friendster, they Friendstered them.
Definitely. Let's get into some fun stuff. It's 2018. What's your favorite movie of the year so far?
Oh, my goodness. Ready Player One.
Ready Player One?
Yeah.
Wow, that's dope. I like that movie. I thought it was really good.
I loved it.
Have you read the book at all?
No.
It's not as fun as the movie.
Right.
But it's still fun, but it's just the references are like 10 times more in the book. I loved Ready Player One. It was actually probably one of my favorite movies to watch in 4DX. I know a lot of people don't watch movies in 4DX.
Yeah.
But you know that the race scene at the beginning. Like, yeah.
Was it crazy
though? Oh my God. It was cool because like you do feel like you're in a big actual video game.
Right.
With the seats moving and like.
Did it get you sick though or no?
No. It was done really well. They do kind of overdo it in some movies.
Yeah.
And so there's absolutely no reason why some movies should be in that.
Right. Yeah.
But that one was a lot of fun. Like Baby Driver was fun in the 4DX. That's cool.
Well, what's your favorite movie?
It's tough. You know, I'm heavily invested in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, right. So the Avengers movie was great.
Avengers was great. And Black Panther also came out this year.
Right, that was great. I didn't see that in the theaters, though.
There's some sleeper movies that I thought were really good. Blindspotting was really good.
Oh, right. Indie. Oh, you know what was good on the indie side? Three Identical Strangers.
That was also really good. I saw that after we told me about it, and then I actually went and saw it like a few days after that.
What did you think of that? Wild, huh?
I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but there's that twist is pretty hard. And
go see it.
Definitely go see that. I'm going to look up this movie real quick because it was Upgrade.
No, what's that?
It's this crazy movie that's like about this guy who gets in an accident and gets this chip put in his back and he's paralyzed.
He got upgraded?
And then like it, but it's like talking to him.
Oh, man.
It's like it's kind of gory, yeah. Action-packed movie. That's definitely one to check out. Well, we will say the end to MoviePass is on a rise. Been great. R.I.P. Any last things you want to plug before we get out of here?
We have our upcoming Halloween, Knights of the Jack-O-Lantern in Calabasas, so stay tuned for that one.
Well, you're going to join us again for the live show here in New York, right?
Yes, yes, here. I will.
Dope. It will be dope. We're going to have some stand-up. We're going to have pop culture trivia. It'll be phenomenal.
Can't wait.
Yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of G-Splash Summer Sessions. Bobby, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been dope. Always love talking movies with you, so I'm great. Looking forward to the live show as well. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
So, yeah, welcome to my home. This is G-Splash Zone. This is the dope show. Get in where you fitting in the summer zone. And I'm going hella ham on that motherfucking home.